You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, July 14th, 2025. As always, Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. It's Monday again, but on the bright side, that means another installment. The Daily Mail Monday here at Radio Albion. And we look at a selection of various news stories from today's edition of the Daily Mail. And it's not as many as you think. Once you call out celebrity gossip, as well as anything pertaining to the royal family, the pickings can get kind of slim, but nevertheless, we do manage. So let's just go ahead and get right into it. We're going to start off with a Trump story because this was on the national news this morning. And if you ever noticed, like more and more here recently, it's like Donald Trump has basically turned into, I don't know, Biden 2.0 maybe. The differences of policy are getting smaller and smaller. And more people are starting to notice. Our first story has the headline, Patriots for Ukraine, U.S. to send Patriot air defense systems to Ukraine as furious Trump blasts two-faced Putin. Now, you always have to love how the Daily Mail does this over the top with their propaganda, especially concerning Russia. It is really laughable. Like everything is like the same writers that are doing their celebrity gossip also do their, you know, geopolitical commentary. Trump blasts two-faced Putin. He talks nice, then bombs everybody. And I saw that on the national news this morning. Trump saying that Putin talks nice, but then bombs everybody. And the level of projection with this statement is just so in your face. I mean, this is just projection on steroids. President Donald Trump announced on Sunday he will send Patriot air defense missiles to Ukraine in its war against Russia. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has asked for more defensive capabilities to fend off a daily barrage of missile and drone attacks from Russia. We will send them Patriots, which they desperately need because Russian President Putin really surprised a lot of people. He talks nice and then bombs everybody in the evening, Trump told reporters at Joint Base Andrews, just outside of Washington, D.C. This is from the guy that was still doing negotiations with Iran when he launched unprovoked airstrikes on Iran. And they make statements like this. So I believe a lot of these contradictory statements they put out are actually like a spiritual attack. It's a mental and spiritual attack because it's so in your face. It's such a blatant lie that it's like it insults your intelligence. It's like your brain is left confused trying to process, like, it's so in your face. I must be misunderstanding something, but you're not. You're not misunderstanding anything. But there's a little bit of a problem here, Trump says. I don't like it. You got to also love the way they go around. Like, remember when Trump was going around claiming he could end the Ukraine conflict with Russia, between Russia and Ukraine, which is actually, we all know at this point, like, we're supposed to be stupid. You also, here's another thing. You notice all these narratives are aimed towards the NPCs because everybody else knows what's up. Like, who has a functioning brain out there that doesn't know this is a proxy war between the U.S. and Russia? And they act like, oh, well, that's just Ukraine and Russia. And then he was going around out there claiming he could end the conflict in 24 hours, which he could by simply cutting Ukraine off and saying, we're over this. We're just totally done. Instead, he goes out here and acts like he can just demand it. You know, he can just tell Russia to essentially unequivocally surrender. We saw this with the Iran thing recently as well. He basically tells Iran, you know, his version of negotiating a peace is Iran unconditionally surrenders. And then they had to go out. He did this big bombing thing, which it's more and more apparent didn't do much. Then they had to go and quickly, you know, act like, well, this is it, and ask for a ceasefire because Israel was in the process of getting their shit pushed in and was going to literally run out of missiles to defend itself. And when that happened, they could just be at free rein to just start eliminating more and more targets in Israel. Then tries to claim, oh, we won. See, we slapped around the Iranians know. They have no chance against America. We could bomb them like there will be no bombing ever seen before. It's becoming more and more circus-like. More and more appropriate to clown world. The clownery is off the charts. We basically are going to send them various pieces of very sophisticated military equipment. What have we been doing so far? I mean, what, we've just been sending them, I don't know, you know, rocks, slingshots. They're going to pay us 100% for that, and that's the way we want it, Trump said. Pay us with what? This country is, Ukraine is beyond broke. They've already basically defaulted. The BlackRock plan to get people to buy in on investing the rebuilding has collapsed, last I heard. They're broke. They're going to pay you with what? The stunning announcement comes just days after it was revealed that the president told a private meeting he once warned Putin he would bomb the blank out of Moscow if he were to attack Ukraine. Apparently, in reference to his first term, Trump said, with Putin, I said, if you go into Ukraine, I'm going to bomb the blank out of Moscow. I'm telling you, I have no choice. And just... No, look. No, you're not. No, you weren't. And no, you didn't. You know? I mean, why is it, you know, you're supposed to, this is supposed to be taken as a serious empire, serious country, and their only answer to everything is we're going to bomb you. Like, that is the go-to end-all answer. You know, like the old saying, if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, apparently the only tool that the U.S. has at this point is bombing. So they run around and act like everything is a nail, and that's their bombing hammer. You're going to bomb Moscow. And what would be the result of that? I mean, the Russians have been laughably, how do I want to say, patient? I could say the same for the Iranians as well. But I mean, if you bombed Moscow, nukes are flying, if they exist. I don't know. But, you know, intercontinental, they're going to strike you back. You know, it's one thing they keep putting up with, you know, like this recent strike on their strategic bombers. And Putin just claims it was terrorism instead of, you know, an act of war backed by the U.S. and Britain. But I mean, if you literally bombed Moscow, what do you think they're going to do? Like, you can just make claims that you could do this and they won't dare do anything back. It's laughable and it's insane. I've read where people are claiming like Trump has basically been replaced by a body double Trump. And I don't know. It may be believable. It's just like the complete 360 within 6 months. You know, I mean, the people thought they were getting this, and I thank goodness I didn't vote for it, so my conscience is clear, but people thought they were getting something, and you still have these zealots who are like, no, you got to trust the plan. I think after this recent whole thing with suddenly the Epstein stuff doesn't exist, I think even some of them are starting to not trust the plan so much. Let's go ahead. Speaking, we're going to stay on the topic, not of Trump, but on the corrupt U.S. system. And I was reflecting on this this morning before I even started looking at what stories to talk about today. I was reflecting on the critical mass. We're reaching this critical mass of the corruption becoming so unsustainable in the U.S. At some point in time, when it just keeps increasing and becoming more and more obvious, more and more apparent, you know that it's unsustainable. And this level of corruption is so in your face. And there's so many. It's not like it's just individual incidents. I remarked about the Epstein thing. This was just so obvious. They talked about, they were talking about all this time that they're going over the list and they're deciding how they're going to release this. And then all of a sudden they come out and they said, well, there's nothing. It's just, you know, you have Netanyahu has made like three trips in the last 6 months to give Trump orders. And everybody knows that's what he's doing. He's showing up. He's not showing up with hat in hand. He's showing up to issue orders. The fact that the U.S. government is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Israelis is so obvious now that it's more or less common knowledge, except for those who are true diehard NPCs. And yet this doesn't stop them from doing these retarded, ridiculous propaganda pieces. They're supposed to make you think otherwise, and yet just with a little critical thinking, you can read between the lines and see the corruption. This story here is just a classic example, and I'll lay out why I believe that. Headline is Special Forces Raid on Narco Tanker that could expose the Irish gangsters behind the largest drug smuggling cartel in the world. An undercover operation by American agents that successfully infiltrated a global drug trafficking ring run by the Kinahan cartel has been revealed for the first time days after eight gangsters were caught in a special forces raid on a narco tanker in the Irish Sea were jailed. In a dramatic operation, they always liken things to the movies. This is why movies, cinema, Hollywood, TV, it's all part of the mind control, because they want your brain to always go back and reference what you've seen in the movies. You watch a movie, you watch a TV program that you enjoy, and while you're watching it, you understand that it's fiction. You know, consciously, you understand what you're watching. You're watching Die Hard or that show 24 Hours that used to air on TV here. And consciously, you understand you're watching fiction. But you see, your brain is just taking in the information and it files it away. So when they come out with a story like this and talk about a dramatic operation akin to something from a movie, see, your brain says, okay, they're giving me this narrative. What do I have to reference it to? And your subconscious goes back and starts pulling those movie files out. And so you start relating, just like they say here, just like they're prompting you. It's just like a movie. The dramatic operation akin to something from a movie. Operatives from the U.S. DEA Drug Enforcement Administration penetrated the gang's vast international network. The high-stakes mission revealed for the first time in newly unsealed federal court records exposed how the bloodthirsty group was expanding its empire globally in a bid to rival the likes of Mexico's fearsome Sinaloa cartel. And we'll stop right there because there's the dead giveaway. This isn't some brave raid to stop drug trafficking. It's an operation to protect the Sinaloa cartel's market share. You see, that's all it is. They're protecting the drug cartel's market share. One of the most interesting things I read it years ago. It's been years ago. Time gets away from me. I couldn't tell you how long ago it was now, because it's probably about three times longer than what I would tell you if I tried to guess. But there was a story, and this guy got arrested like by the FBI or the DEA. I don't remember. And he was a high-ranking drug cartel guy, and they nabbed this guy somewhere and shipped him off. They disappeared him, took him up to Chicago to file these trafficking. And he sat down in the interrogation room, and he calmly told them, y'all can't do this. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I have a deal with the CIA, which y'all won't do this. And then all of a sudden, the story disappeared. They're all in. The DEA is probably part of the biggest drug running operation. They're like, they have become not some sort of enforcement arm to stop drugs. They're the enforcement arm to stop drugs from the wrong people. You see, they're all in on the take. We know this. I don't have proof of it. At what point do you have to have proof? You know, if you see a big pile up on the freeway and you can't tell what exactly happened up there. Does that mean there wasn't a wreck because you can't actually see what cars hit what? Or is it enough to look at the backed up traffic and go, there's been a big wreck up ahead? It's so obvious what's going on here. And this is what I mean. The corruption has reached such a point that is undeniable. You see it everywhere, and they put out a story like this, and you're supposed to think about the movies and see the DEA is out there bravely trying to just somehow stem the flow of drugs. But if you have a critical mind, you read a story like it, and when you get to that line and you read a story like this, you get to that line we just read, and you're like, oh, they're protecting the Sinaloa cartel. They're not letting any competition come in. There, on the one hand, the DEA can say, look, we're running big special operations and shutting down these bloodthirsty Irish gangsters. And meanwhile, they just can't seem to, that Sinaloa cartel is just too tough of a nut to crack, right? I had laughed here a while back. They were talking about, you know, the Trump people were talking about they might use the military and go after the Mexican drug cartel. No, they're not. The corruption is at an absolute point of critical mass. It's everywhere. I mean, just think about it. Drive around here in the U.S. If you don't live here, you know, I'll tell you, our roads are third world tier. I mean, there really are. And there are construction projects, don't get me wrong, but they're so far behind. And there's so much that needs to be done. It's just like, yeah, you can go around and there's road construction projects or they're working on roads. But it's like they're working on, say, 5 to 10% of the roads, and the other 90 to 95% of the roads are just as bad. They're like driving around on, you know, on a battlefield with artillery craters everywhere. I mean, yeah, everybody can see this. Everybody experiences this. Everybody notices this. You can't not notice it. And what? Oh, we're doing the best we can with our limited budget. By the way, we're going to send another umpteen kajillion dollars to Israel or the Ukraine. But, you know, you're just going to have to live with the reality of having the suspension knocked out from under your car because the roads are so bad. But we're totally a first world country. We got people living under bridges, shitting on the sidewalk. Totally a first world country while we send more billions to Israel and the Ukraine. It's all corruption. You know, this whole, that previous story about Trump talking about, you know, and the EU does this too, how they're going to send more. And it's, we all know it's a money laundering operation. You know, like I say, the level of corruption is not sustainable. It's becoming so blatant, so obvious. From the fact that it's obvious, like I say, the Israelis own lock, stock, and barrel the U.S. political system. And it, to, you know, just the corruption in every aspect of anything this system touches. You look around, you can see it in your day-to-day lives. It can't go on like this. It simply cannot. We're going to go ahead and switch gears a little bit and get a little lighthearted, a little more lighthearted. And we jump to our new story here. Brigitte Macron launches appeal in top French court after women who claimed she was born a man were cleared of defamation. France's first lady has taken her case against two women over claims she used to be a man to the highest appeals court after a lower court let them off, her lawyer said today. On Thursday, the Paris Appeals Court overturned earlier convictions against the two women for spreading false claims that went viral online that Brigitte Macron, 72, used to be a dude. I said the dude. It's a man here. Disinformation. Here's our first clue when it may be true. You know, and I don't know if it's true or not. But whenever the media throws out the term disinformation, it's always a red flag. Disinformation on Macron's gender has circulated on social media for years. Her 24-year age difference with President Emmanuel Macron has also attracted much comment. Brigitte Macron filed a libel complaint against the two women after they posted a YouTube video in December of 2021 alleging she had once been a man named Jean-Michel Trojanot, or I can't say it right. I don't know. I'm not French. Truchinot. Trogneau. I don't know. Who is actually Brigitte Macron's brother. Now, I'm going to stop here because, you know, it does seem, and like I said, I don't know if this is a homosexual thing and Brigitte Macron's just a pervy old dude who, you know, Emmanuel Macron has had this long-term thing with. I don't know that. And I'll tell you up front, I don't know that. But the reaction to it is very interesting to me. Because if it weren't true, you flip it on its head. Okay. Assuming it's not true, the media is totally not lying to us this time. And this is indeed disinformation. And she has a brother, and they're just claiming the brother is actually this person. All you would have to do is produce a child. Look, especially at this age, I know things are a little different now. But for older people, you know, I mean, for my generation, for sure, I'm way younger than this old elderly person. Everybody did family photos back in the day. Like I say, I know people don't now because the family has fallen apart along with everything else in this shithole West democracy value system. But back in the day, everybody did a family photo. In fact, for some families, they did them every year. You know, if, I don't know, you know, it's just commonplace. So you had these claims that started going viral online. I know, what's her name? Candace Owens was big on this for a while. She probably still is. I don't know. You know, the simple answer to this would be to pull out one of the family, you know, family photo, you know, where you went to a photo studio and they took a family portrait. There's the mother, there's the father, and there's the siblings. All you would have to do is pull that out and say, see, there I am, the girl, and there's my brother right next to me. And instead, you file a lawsuit. And because this would just be like one of the easiest things to debunk. You know, you have all these people spreading these rumors, spreading this disinformation, to use the media's term. And the easiest thing to do would say, these people are a bunch of kooks and crackpots. Look, here's a family photo from when I, you know, a family portrait that was done when I was 8 years old. There's me, there's my brother, there's my parents. Y'all are a bunch of idiots. Look, here's another picture of me when I went to college. I was obviously a girl. But none of that. No, instead you go to court and try to shut them down. That's kind of weird because if you just produce the pictures of you and your brother together at the same time, you would make these people look stupid and that would be the end of it. You wouldn't have to go to the court and demand they be fined, demand they be put in jail. Seems kind of odd. And where is this brother? Oh, wait, that's right. The brother supposedly died. And again, I don't know. It's just a weird way to react to it. You know? I mean, you think about it from your perspective. You're a woman. We have female listeners here. You yourself, you're listening to this show and you're female. Say you're my age. You're in your late 50s or even in your 60s, 70s, whatever. And somebody suddenly started claiming you were dude. You were born a man and you're actually male. All you would do, you could just go and produce various pictures of yourself. Female, when you were a little girl. Here's you and your brother together playing on a swing set when you're 8 years old. You wouldn't have the reaction of, oh, I'm going to sue them and make them shut up. Along with the corruption is the fakeness. You know, everything is fake. All these people they produce are fake. And, you know, whether they're these political figures, They're all fake. They're all manufactured. They're all playing a role. And we're going to go ahead and jump to another one of these fake people. A story concerning one of these fake manufactured personalities. Headline of this story, paralyzed patient reveals incredible abilities after receiving Neuralink chip. A paralyzed U.S. military veteran is able to play video games, control electronics, and even design 3D objects by using only his thoughts, thanks to a coin-sized chip implanted in his brain and backed by tech magnate Elon Musk.
That's what I said.
Elon Musk is obviously a manufactured persona. The narrative is that this guy is just a super genius. Sure, he's quirky, but that's just what you expect, you know? A super genius? Why do you think that car company, they called it Tesla? Because you're supposed to, again, your brain goes back to its file. You hear the name Tesla, and you pull back files that you know about the actual person, Tesla. And your brain will make that connection. You know, that was a guy who really was a, you know, kind of eccentric genius type of person. So you make that connection. Elon Musk is the modern day Tesla. He's a super, no, he's not. You realize that any, just a little bit of observation, and there's been plenty to observe over the years now, as he's a very public figure. And you quickly realize this isn't some sort of super genius. In fact, I would propose, I don't think he's even particularly smart. He's pretty autistic, and, you know, but the idea that this is some sort of super genius, not buying it. RJ, a quadriplegic who lost use of his limbs following a devastating motorcycle accident, is the first patient at a Miami hospital to be fitted with the telepathy device developed by Musk's brain interface company, Neuralink. The surgical milestone was completed earlier this year at UHealth Tower, the flagship hospital of the University of Miami Health System. RJ is one of just 7 people nationwide to have received the trip. It's supposed to be the chip, but as I say week in and week out, they don't do proofreading or edit, you know, they don't have editors apparently at the Daily Mail. So you have to live with the constant poor grammar, etc. I think my favorite thing is probably being able to turn on my TV, RJ said during a video presentation by Neuralink. Like, the first time in 2.5 years I was able to do that, so that was pretty sweet. But RJ's abilities now extend far beyond the remote control. Thanks to the chip embedded in the part of his brain that controls movement, he can operate a computer with nothing more than brain signals. That includes shooting zombies in Call of Duty, driving around in Mario Kart, and even designing complex mechanical parts in Fusion 360, a professional CAD program. That's what's up, RJ said. Pretty sweet. I like shooting zombies. That's kind of nice. The telepathy chip was implanted using a surgical robot developed by Neuralink. The machine implants more than 60 ultra-thin threads, thinner than a human hair, into the brain to detect neural activity. Those brain signals are then wirelessly transmitted to a computer, where software decodes them into commands that can move a mouse, play a video game, or operate other devices. Now, common sense will tell you that if the brain signals can transmit out, then you could also have signals transmitted in. That's common sense, right? I absolutely believe, you know, they put out a story. They're normally a story like this. And remember, it is called a story because they're telling you a story. This is just to, because, you know, you hear about getting a brain chip implanted and your instinctual reaction is, oh, hell no. So they have to normalize it. They start off with a story like this. Well, would you be, you know, if you ask people, somebody out of the blue with no background, how do you feel about implanting a chip in somebody's brain? You'd be like, oh, yeah, no, hell no. But if you say, well, you have this guy's quadriplegic and this can enable him to start, you know, being able to do some things, you'd be like, well, maybe it's not so bad. Ultimately, I think their long-term plan with this is to normalize it to the point where everybody's doing it. You won't need your smartphone anymore. Just imagine you can walk up, buy your groceries, and instead of having to insert your card, your chip card, you see, they're normalizing the term. instead of inserting your chip card, and then we moved up to now you have the transmitter in the card, so you just hold it up there. Tap to pay. See how convenient. Or, you know, some places have it where you do it with your smartphone and you just wave it. Now, you just look at the machine and it scans you, or you just think about it and you've paid for your groceries. How convenient is that? Somebody asks you a question. They could tell you that everybody will be smart, because anybody asks you a question with your brain chip, you're connected to the internet and you can come up with any answer. Especially thought-provoking is when you consider this, you know, before you tell me I'm just really need to take my meds, bear with me, consider this alongside of this story, alongside of what they're doing with this, is this development of AI. So they eventually normalize this to the point, yes, right now most people would say, no, hell no, I'm not. But once they normalize it, and then people get used to the idea, well, I can be connected to the internet all the time. I have the answer to any question anybody asks, because I have instant, I can just think about it and I can look online and the answer is there. And you look at the way AI is being developed alongside of this, if you're connected to the internet, and what I say earlier, if the chip can transmit to the computer, so as to speak, if the chip can transmit to the net, then the net can transmit to the chip. Are you controlling the internet? Are you controlling the AI, or is the AI controlling you? You see, once you let something like that happen, would you even be able to tell who's the one calling shots? Would you even be able to tell what thoughts are your own and what thoughts were put in there by the chip? Because there's no way if it can transmit to the computer, as they're saying in this story, then the reverse can't be true. They're just not. That's like saying your phone, you had a phone and you can only talk on it, but you can't hear what someone else is saying. No, hell no. If it can transmit, then you can receive transmissions. And again, you consider this alongside the development of AI, and you can see where they're going with this. When I read this story, the first thing that popped in my mind is kind of like the internet meme, you know, the joke. You know, it's like, ha ha, yeah, I get it. It's a great thing, but yeah, I'm not going to do it. Sorry, I'm just not. No, I know. I know. But no, I'm not going to take the brain chip. I'm not going to take the brain chip. I don't care how many other people do it. I don't care that you have people running around going, oh, so you're so stupid because you're not connected. See, I'm connected. I can answer any question. I can make brilliant decisions because I have all the information in my brain because I'm hooked up to the net. Then they take it a step further. We're being hypothetical, obviously. I don't have a way of seeing into the future. But I do think this is their plans. They don't have a way of knowing it's going to work, but I think this is where they want to go with it. At some point in time then, when everybody can just think about it and pay for their goods and services, why need cash? Why need a credit card? Why need any of those things? Everybody else, look, at 90% of the people, if 80% of the people are running around pay by thought, pay by Neuralink, then the 20% are either going to get the chip or they're going to be stuck. They're going to be out in the cold. You can see where that's going. I don't care. Yeah, no. I mean, there's another one of those things that may not come to pass. The corruption, I was talking earlier about the corruption reaching critical mass. And I think in a lot of ways, people, you think about that and people kind of get uneasy and they think that's a bad thing. But then you read a story like this and you see the direction, you know, some of their quote, kind of long-term goals and plans. And you kind of have to start cheering for the collapse. You kind of have to start thinking, well, on the bright side, the corruption is so endemic and so in your face and so obvious now that we got a pretty good chance that the whole system's going to implode on itself before they can come up with their brilliant, before they can enact their brilliant plan, see it come to fruition of implanting a brain chip. Who would you trust these people? I mean, look, I understand the quadriplegic in the story. You know, you'd feel like, if you were that person, you'd feel like you got nothing to lose. But if their plan is to normalize this and get everybody out, you know, I you can just forget it. You know, this is just one of them things I'm not even going to consider. Not going to do it. You can tell me how brilliant it is. All you want to. You can take one of the pictures in this story is a picture of all these people with Elon Musk in the center doing these, I don't know, weird hand gestures. And you can do all the weird hand gestures you want to. But I'm sorry. I know. But I'm just not. I'm not taking the brain chip. Now I'm not. Sorry. I'm just not. I'm just not going to do it. We're going to wrap up on that note. You don't need a brain chip. You just need to tune into Radio Albion. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with his Orthodox Nationalist. And we wrap up on Thursdays. We have Better Than Bankers Hours here. We do a four-day work week at Radio Albion. Dr. Johnson will wrap us up on Thursday with his installment of the Daily Nationalist. I know a lot of you look forward to it. I look forward to it as well, so you'll be sure and want to check that out. So look, I hope you have a great rest of your week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.